The sermon title is, Dear God, I Messed Up Again. Dear God, I Have Messed Up Again. I'm sure that you have heard these phrases before. I'm saved, but I still sin. I sin, but I'm not a sinner. So how is it that I can be saved and still sin, or still sin and be saved? Is this just a play on words that truly has no meaning whatsoever? And the answer is no, it's not. It does have meaning, and it's very, very important to bring understanding to people's lives of that. As your pastor today, I have wrong thoughts. I let my anger get the best of me. I react in the wrong way. In other words, I still sin. But I am a child of God. I have been born again. Spiritually, I am seated with Christ in heaven. So how can that be? Well, let's go where we left off last Sunday, and that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when we were speaking about baptism. So we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting from verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And what a wonderful verse it goes follows by. Now then, we, you and I, are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Baptism is an outward showing of an open testimony. Or you've heard people say, baptism is an outward showing of an inner work that God has done in your life. In other words, I'm telling the world, I'm telling those that are standing there today, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have been born again. I've been born again. I am saved. Now, verse 16, when we look at that again, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. At one time, I knew Jesus only through the flesh, through my acknowledgement of him. But now I know him through the Spirit, because I have been born again. Now, turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Last week, we went through the steps of salvation, and if you were not here, I encourage you to go back and maybe listen to that sermon and jot some notes down, because I think everybody should be able to explain what takes place, how one is saved, and what happens for a person to become saved. Here in John chapter 3, we talk about Nicodemus. We're going to go to verse 3. We won't read the beginning portion of it, but in verse 3, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, there is a natural birth and there is a spiritual birth. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was spiritually born again. But my flesh is not born again. But my spirit is. Through the Spirit, now, I have the authority and I'm able to take authority over the flesh and my old nature through Christ. So let's go back to baptism. What is it? an open testimony of an inward work that I have been born again. But it is also a testimony that I am committed to following Christ, that I am making a commitment, that I will walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The work of sanctification is ongoing. It's lifelong. So through the work of the Spirit and the Word of God, we find what? That He is constantly cleansing and changing us into what? Into the very image of Jesus. The Word says that work that He has started in your life, He will finish that work in your life. I have been spiritually born again from above, and I praise God forevermore, but I still have challenges of the flesh because I want to go back to my old nature. That's what you relate to immediately when something happens. Each and every one of us probably has an anger button. And probably somebody in the family sometimes, or maybe somebody else, they know where they can reach right in there and they can push that button and instantly you're angry. What are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond in the Spirit? Or are you going to respond in the flesh? Well, there's times that we get over in the flesh, don't we? Even though I'm still saved, I find out that sometimes I still slip and I also still sin. And we find out that the Lord is going to give us, He's going to give us a work in that, that we can come to Him daily for that. It's also a testimony that I've committed to following Jesus when I am baptized. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1. In Romans 8, verse 1, we're going to read quite a bit of this because it all relates to what we're talking about here today. It says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to what? According to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, he says, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, hallelujah, we are debtors not to the flesh anymore to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Is there ever been a time in your life that you wanted to do something in the flesh, but you said, you know what? I'm going to put that old life to death. I'm not going to walk in that anymore. I'm going to walk in the Spirit of life. And I praise God for that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They're the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. So before I was saved, I walked according to my own choices, my own desires. The guiding principle in my life before I was saved was me. But all of a sudden, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've been born again. Who is supposed to be the guiding principle in your life now? Jesus. to be led by His Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 5 again. Verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." You ever get over in the flesh, brother and sister? Of course you have. If you've never got over in the flesh, you're not telling me the truth. We get over in the flesh. And you know, when I get over in the flesh, I think about my Heavenly Father, and you know what? I'm not pleasing God then. When I get into myself, I am not pleasing God. I need to walk in the Spirit in all things, in all direction, all choices, all decision making, and most certainly in my anger, when the Scripture says, "Be angry, but sin not," I need to be walking in the Spirit. So look at verse 11. Verse 11, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But because I have been born again, the guiding principle in my life is supposed to be Jesus." Now listen to me. The Spirit of God that now dwells in you is imperfect. And you heard me hear this say this many, many times. The Spirit of God that dwells within you is in perfect harmony with God. Are you listening to the Spirit? Are you listening to the direction of God? Because you're listening to the Spirit, then you're listening to God, because it is in perfect harmony with God. The flesh you live in, this body, this shell, is not in perfect harmony with God. So to walk in the will of God, I must submit my fleshly desires to the Spirit of God that is dwelling in me. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're trying to bring this out a little bit more and a little bit more as we go here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and boy, it's warm in here because I'm sure sweating. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, down to verse 14. Verse 14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Chapter 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for even till now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am Apollos.' Are you not carnal? So then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he that plants is anything, nor he that waters, but God is the one who gives us the increase." Now there's three types of people that are identified here, and you've heard me share them before, but look at verse 14. In verse 14 of chapter 2, it points out natural man. It says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." So who is Paul pointing to? He's pointing to those that are still in their natural state and have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The second person he points to is found in verse 15 of chapter 2, and it's spiritual man. So verse 15 says this, "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no man." Also chapter 2, verse 9, if you go back to verse 9, it says, "But it is written, 'Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us,'" how? "Through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him, for even so no one the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He's pointing to us in our spiritual state, that we are born again. We've accepted Jesus. We are being led by the spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is to teach you, to equip you, to lead you, to guide you. And as He's teaching you, you can only receive it through the Spirit because of that born-again experience of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is living in your life. But He points out a third type of people. Chapter 3, verse 1. In chapter 3, verse 1, He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." What is carnal man? So what is carnal man? Carnal man is a saved sinner. Just exactly what we started talking about today. A saved sinner. One that knows Jesus. One that trusts Jesus. One that has been born again. But what's the problem? They're walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. You can see the pride that had lifted them up. Well, I was saved by Paul. Well, I was saved by Apollos, so I must be more saved than you are. And the answer is, no, you're not. Who are they? They're only ministers of the gospel. So we see here, he says, in verse 3, "For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men?" Satan loves those things, doesn't he? He likes strife, and he likes envy, and he likes divisions. He loves that in the church. If Satan can get in there and get somebody operating in the flesh rather than operating in the Spirit, your love of the church is going to go right out the door. Because you're no longer walking in the Spirit, but you are walking in the flesh. They are still thinking and functioning, operating from their fleshly nature. So yes, I can still sin and be saved and be saved and still sin. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you is a perfect gentleman. The Spirit did not force you to accept Jesus, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in you will not force you to walk in the Spirit. You have a choice. So for the individual saved, walking in the Spirit is still a choice. And there's nothing more that shows that than Galatians chapter 5. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, we look at verse 16. He says, "I say then," and this is a very good chapter, the whole chapter, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall" what? "You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you will not do the things that you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Have you ever noticed a battle in your own life? "Well, this is what I want to do, but this is what the Spirit wants me to do." Everyone should recognize that battle. This is how I want to respond, but this is how Jesus wants me to respond. And of course, everyone has dealt with that and still dealing with that. This is what I want to do. That's how I want to respond. This is how I want to think, but the Spirit says no. Do you have you always responded as the Spirit wanted you to? No. This is an honest place. I know what God wants me to do. I know how God wants me to respond. Do I always do it? I would like to tell you, as a pastor, I always do. But if you push my mad button, you might find out that I don't always do that. Yes, you are still spiritually seated with Christ, but you just messed up. Have you ever just messed up? In my walk with Christ, I've been a master of the mess up. Did you know in God's infinite wisdom, He has made a way for us to move through the mess ups of life, outlined to us in the Scripture? Turn with me to Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer. "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in. Give us this day our daily bread." And verse 12. "And forgive us our debts." Forgive me for what I have done wrong this day. the Lord tells us that we need to come to Him to seek forgiveness. You know, sometimes people, they make a mistake and then they just bury it in their life. They don't bring it to the Lord, they just bury it. At other times they think, well, you know, I must have lost my salvation because I surely messed up this time. When you are born again from above and seated with Christ in the heavenly places, you are sealed for the day of redemption. But that does not mean that you won't mess up, because sometimes we will make the choices and the wrong choices to walk in the flesh. Here in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we what? As we forgive others. What have I done wrong this day that I need to ask, Lord? I need you to forgive me. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John and chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and 1 John 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things that I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, as He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the whole world. If I make a mistake, I have somebody I can come to. Now turn with me to 1 John. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Now, I want to explain this to you just for a moment. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, do not deceive you. No one deceive you. He who practice righteousness and righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So whoever has been born of God does not sin. It's speaking of the continual and the habitual sin. Because you can't say, well, I'm going to sin, I'm just going to keep on sinning, so I'm just going to let grace abound. That's what he says in Romans chapter 6. We can't do that, can we? We're supposed to walk away from those things in the newness of our life. I can't help it, so I'm just going to walk in the flesh. God surely understands. No, he does not understand. Because if you're truly saved and you want God's will in your life, you will be led by the Spirit and you will not walk in the flesh. But there's sometimes you might make a mistake. It says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. The continual sin. So I can sin and not be a sinner. You see the difference in that? When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, what was the sin that was keeping me out of heaven? Was the sin of not knowing Jesus. We took care of that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then what happened to my life? I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. When the Hebrew children were leaving Egypt and they put the blood on the doorposts and on the lintels, does that mean that everyone he delivered was perfect? No, it does not. But they were obedient and they were under the blood of the Lamb. Today, you are under the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, I still make mistakes. Through God's infinite wisdom, He has made a way. Romans chapter 6, we won't go there. Do I keep on sinning that grace may abound? And the answer is no. Baptism reveals that my old nature has passed away. It has been put to death. I'm walking in the newness of my life. But is that walk perfect yet? No, it's not. Saints, we live, we must never be critical of those who mess up. You know what a critical spirit does? It points to the mistakes of others, but never looks at their own. That's easy to do. I believe that Carol and I, one of the strengths of our ministries over the years, and most certainly not at this church, is the ability to work with people that no one else would have any time for. People in churches would say, I just want them to go. I just want them to be out the door. I don't want them to be here no more. And Carol and I have never stopped ministry. You don't stop ministry just because people respond to you the wrong way. And I think about when we think about having a critical spirit, it's like, well, let me take that splinter out of your eye. This is what you're doing wrong. And you have not considered the beam, as the scripture says, that is in your own eye. We must never have a critical spirit to other people. We all need forgiveness because we all mess up. The scripture says in Galatians we should restore one another. The question is for us today, I've gone a little longer, is there something that you're just not letting go of because you don't think God can forgive you? There is nothing that God will not forgive you. And some people will say, well, I just messed up so bad. I knew what God wanted me to do, and I didn't do it. And I just messed up. You know what? God wants to forgive you. Maybe you're the one that needed to hear this message today so you would hear it, so you would be forgiven. So today, you've been seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. You may sin, but you are not a sinner. Why? It's because you are under the blood of the Lamb. Father, we just stand on your word today, and we believe in your word, and your word tells us that we ask forgiveness for those mistakes that we have made in our life. And we come to you today, Lord, as the author and finisher of our faith, and we ask you, Lord, if there is anything in my life that I either know about or don't know about this week that I have done, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would forgive me. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.